All right. I would like to call the meeting to order at 9:15 a.m. I would also like to ask, as a courtesy to all, please ensure that you have silenced your cell phones. Each director received notice of this committee meeting. The public meeting notice was properly posted as required by law. Presiding Officer Cynthia Flores, Director Mike Hahn, and Jared Smith indicated that they would not be in attendance for this meeting. At this point in the meeting, we have set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you who were interested in providing comments and filled out one of the cards available at the receptionist desk will be called to make comments at this time. Seeing that no one wishes to speak, we'll move forward with the agenda. Report and possible discussion of fiscal year 2023 annual comprehensive financial report by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We have Aaron Wortham here from Baker Tilly. He's department in charge of the audit for FY23, which ended August 31st of 2023. And he will give the report of the audit itself. This report also will be in the main board later on at 10 o'clock. So you'll see this twice, but ask questions after Aaron's given his presentation. And I'll turn it over to Aaron and this one that will be okay.
Great. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to see everybody. Feels like I was just here not too long ago, so. But good to see everyone again anyway, and I'm pleased to present the fiscal year 2023 financial audit.
It's not working.
It just...
There it goes. Is it working? Hang on.
No, Lisa can run it.
It's not, oh, sure.
Okay, sorry. I'll just say next.
Maybe Lisa will answer.
Lisa's not there.
So first thing I want to do is go through an audit overview. You know, just kind of a recap for you folks, just a little bit more about what is it that we do as part of the audit and maybe a little bit about what we don't do. Then go through the auditor communication of you charged with governance and then open up to any questions anyone has. Next slide, please. So if we take a step back and look at the audit, our firm spends about 450 hours, and that's just on this audit, not the benefit plans, but just for this audit, about 450 hours auditing your financial statements and then your financial records. And I'd say this year went very well. You know, it was our fifth year of the audit engagement, so we've been able to get to know your organization. We definitely know how to work with your team, but again, it went well. I'd say really the only difference this year was there was a new accounting change related to subscription-based information technology arrangements. So we've probably been working with David and Matt probably over the course of the last year to take a look at that and that accounting guidance and implementation. What kind of made it a little bit easier is that accounting mirrors the leases accounting that they implemented a couple of years ago. So it was a pretty smooth implementation, and we had no issues as part of the audit doing it.
Aaron, can I inject something real quick?
Sure.
He's going to say David and Matt, and that's that David and his Matt, not this David and this Matt.
Thank you.
I'm sure they do a great job.
No, me and Matty Boy here don't do this stuff.
No.
Okay, sorry.
No, good point.
That's good.
So the good thing is, you know, when we conduct the audit, how the audit goes isn't so much of us at Baker Tilly, it's really the preparedness of your team and how well those folks do. So it's definitely a dance, if you will, between the two parties, and that's what ensures that our audit does go well. So we conduct 3 weeks of financial field work. So we're here in July for 1 week and we conduct our preliminary field work, and then we come back here at the end of October and early November for 2 more weeks of final field work. So our last day of field work was November 9th, 2023. After that time then is when we spend all that time looking at your annual comprehensive financial report, looking at those disclosures, tying those out to the records that we just audited. Next slide. So if we look at the audit, and if I give you a big picture of it, about 30% of what we do has to do with internal controls. Specifically, I'd say we concentrate more of our effort now in the information technology area, so much so that we have a certified information system auditor that goes about and conducts that audit testing. That's about 30% of what we do. 40% of what we do then are what we call our substantive tests. That's the nuts and bolts of our audit. It's taking a look at your cash and investments, looking at your bank statements, tying those out to your financial records, looking at your fixed assets or your property additions, you know, taking those back into the invoice, the actual invoices for those asset purchases. And then looking at retirements of fixed assets, going back to the historical property records and making sure that the value taken off your books is the same value that it was placed on. But that's about 40% of what we do. 30% of what we do then is specific to financial reporting and the planning of our audit management. But what I've done here is I've given you an overview of the major areas of emphasis that we go about and conduct our audit testing on. And I think if you look at these, none of them should really be of much of a surprise. Because, for instance, if you look at your assets, you know, we spend a significant amount of time of auditing your assets. Well, that's the largest number on your balance sheet. So we spend a significant amount of time with your cash and investments, your utility revenue, your billing processes, again, your plant infrastructure. And then we spend a significant amount of time looking at your revenues and expenses. You know, a couple things we'll do there is we'll compare those items to budget. We'll also then compare expenses for this current fiscal year to the prior fiscal year. And any major variances between the 2 years, we'll spend a significant amount of time taking a look at that. You know, what caused those fluctuations? Because normally within the utility industry, we would see that those fluctuations should be pretty consistent for the most part. But again, this is where we spend most of our time. Next slide. So our audit was performed in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards. Those are the standards that we're required to follow as we go about and conduct your audit. In addition to that, we're also required to audit you in compliance with government auditing standards. Those are additional standards relative to my team's continuing professional education, the supervision of that audit team, due care, quality control, and the independence of our audit team. So our audit objective is to make sure and obtain reasonable assurance that your financial statements are free from material misstatement. At the end of this year's audit, your financial statements have received an unmodified opinion, which is also known as a clean opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we can provide as your audit firm. Now, I just mentioned that we provide an opinion on your financial statements. I did want to note, although we test and look at internal controls, we do not provide an opinion on internal controls. However, if we identify any breakdowns or lack of internal controls that are considered a material weakness or significant deficiency, we're required to communicate those. So a material weakness is an internal control breakdown or lack of internal controls that would lead to more than a reasonable possibility that your financial statements could be materially misstated. And we did not have any material weaknesses. The next categorization down, less severe than a material weakness, is what we call the significant deficiency. And that definition is, it's something large enough that warrants your attention as governance. And we didn't have any of those. Then lastly, we have what we call minor control deficiencies or industry best practices, things like that. And I would say at any utility engagement, we'll often and almost always have these types of recommendations. We had a couple of those this year in the information technology area, which I would say again, on every utility engagement I have, that's almost always where we have those industry best practice recommendations or minor control deficiencies, which makes sense, right? Because that IT universe and that cyber universe is constantly changing. So again, a couple minor comments there, but nothing that led to your attention.
Question.
Yes.
Is that a new term, unmodified opinion versus unqualified?
It is. So back in the day, they used to call it an unqualified opinion, which is kind of very confusing, right?
Yeah.
They did change it to unmodified. The meaning is exactly the same. And basically, if you look at unmodified, that means it's a clean opinion, and we didn't have to modify it for any significant finding, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
question up. So a couple things. One of the deliverables you folks received was what we call our audit results letter. And in that, there's a section on our required communications with you charged with governance. Wanted to go through a couple highlights. I won't go through everything in that letter. But one thing is independence. So as every year goes by, the profession takes a closer and closer look at auditor independence. I'm here to report that our firm and every individual on the audit is independent with your organization. If we had any significant or unusual transactions, we would need to disclose those. We didn't. The only disclosure we would have, again, is the implementation of the subscription-based information technology arrangements. And that was a change. It wasn't anything where things weren't being done properly. It's just an accounting change. One thing that we often get questions on from governing bodies are when you take a look at your financial statements, you know, what should you be most concerned with? What are the limitations of those financial statements? And I will say that's almost always has to do with one of your significant estimates. So much so, in fact, that we're required to point out and tell you what significant estimates are within your financial statements. And your organization has three. One would be the depreciation on your fixed assets, your accrued compensated absences, and then your net pension liability. And I just wanted to show some of the sensitivity specific to the net pension liability. So what happens is the actuary, we get an actuary report, or your organization gets an actuary report, and it will use a number of assumptions. It'll take a look at your census data from your organization on your employees. It'll come up with a discount rate, and it will determine here's what your net pension liability is. And for this year, for this audit, that number was determined to be $9.1 million based on a 6.5% discount rate. One of the required disclosures is what we call sensitivity analysis. So within your statements, it shows that number at 6.5%, but then it needs to disclose what that number is if the discount rate were to simply change 1%, either up or down. So if we take a look at that $9 million, if that discount rate was actually 7.5% based on market conditions, your liability would go down to $6.6 million. And then likewise, if that discount rate went down to 5.5%, your liability would increase to $12.2 million. So again, you can kind of see the sensitivity of these estimates based on a number of different variables. So as I sit here today, can I tell you that $9 million is your liability? I can't say that, but what I can tell you, it's more than likely probably between 12 to 6. But again, a limitation of these statements. So just one thing to note.
Are we properly funded, though, to handle the up or down percentage?
Just remember, that plan is a closed plan. So
this is right. This is the problem.
I'm just talking about.
Yeah, but his question is very right. Appropriate.
Yes, it is properly funded.
Because that's really where we're at.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But also, Director Bourne, that is one of the goals of that committee is to make sure that as the market changes and our investments change, that we're continuing to look at that unfunded liability and where we're going in the future. Right. So we don't end up like some of the larger municipalities.
Right. Another item, you know, we disclose is your accounting policy. So if you look at the, I believe it's note one in your financial statements, it will outline your accounting policies, an example of which would be your capitalization policy. So if you haven't taken a look at those, I urge you to do so just to see the types of accounting policies your organization makes in regard to this annual financial report. If we had any adjusting journal entries or waived adjusting journal entries as part of our audit, we would be required to disclose those. And we did not have any adjusting journal entries or any waived adjusting journal entries. And then lastly, we did not have any significant audit findings or concerns. Just know if at any time we were conducting the audit, this wouldn't be the first time you would hear of a significant finding or a significant concern. I would reach out to the board chair to have those discussions on a timely basis. But again, no findings. The audit went very well this year. The good news, probably for David and Matt, if we turn the page going into next year, there's no major accounting changes next year, which has to be the first time in, 5 years, maybe? it's been pretty busy, so.
Excuse me, when you say next year, we're talking about this year, right?
The work, yes, this coming fiscal year, yeah. So as of right now, we are not proactively working on any changes. It should be, again, a pretty smooth audit, and it literally probably has at least 4 or 5 years of significant accounting changes that we've had recently. So I guess time off for working well for the past 5 years. And I guess with that, I'll open it up to any questions anyone might have. You know, lastly, again, thanks to David and Matt and their entire accounting team. Like I said, you don't get to this point with a clean opinion, no significant findings by chance. You know, again, that's due to the work that those folks performed. And I will say, you know, Matt's always very good about any time there is not a questionable transaction, but something new or something different. He will definitely reach out to us to have those discussions to proactively take care of that before we get to the audit, which helps, obviously, again, ensure a smooth and efficient audit. So with that, I'll take any questions anyone has.
What is our fiscal year exactly? It's not like the state. Our fiscal year, is it this calendar?
It ends August, so it's a 12-month
period. So what you're doing, August. Okay, you're back.
Yeah.
And the calendar follows that.
Correct, yeah. So your audit report will be through the latest 12 months ending August 31st, 2023. So yeah, you're a good point. You're probably already 5 years or 5 months into your year already.
Yes.
Last year, you brought up something that we needed to look forward to regarding the subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything of that nature for this year that might be
something
different?
Yeah, so that was back to my point of luckily there's no accounting changes next year, so there's no implementations in anything. There is one the year following, a year in advance. There's some changes to crew compensated absences, but that's not due until fiscal 25, so not this coming period, but the year thereafter.
I think you had mentioned different ways of how you guys go about doing your assessment with AI. And
mm-hmm.
Are we entering into that environment?
Yep. So every year, I would say we do more and more AI type testing and computerized testing and things like that. So one of the things our firm is doing. So AICPA, American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, is developing an audit methodology right now. And our firm is one of those firms that's helping create this methodology. We call it a dynamic audit solution. So what we're doing actually going forward for this fiscal year, so this coming testing, is we have new tools, some new softwares, a new approach into auditing. Again, it's gonna focus on risk. So as you can warrant your actual testing on those areas where there's higher risk and less internal controls, you know, that's what we would do. The good thing that we can also do, and then we did do, for instance, journal entries. If we look at your journal entries, the biggest risk for journal entries are it can be subject to management override of controls. So that's one of the significant risks that we have when we conduct the audit. So we take a look at your journal entries. We'll import every single journal entry that your management team posted during the current year. And then we have an audit software that will look at every entry and it will spit out the higher risk items based on many different things, whether it be description, you know, it'll look for the words error, it will look for things posted on weekends or holidays, you know, when there's rarely people here. It would spit out anything that doesn't have an approval. But at any rate, it tries to minimize the population so we as auditors can look at exactly where the higher risk items are. So that's just an example of one thing that we use.
Is that software proprietary to your firm?
No. So it's a commercial software. Many audit firms, I'm sure, use it. But again, we will continue to see more of this going forward. To use our valuable time to search and review things of highest risk. It's an aid in our audit.
It's got to save a lot of time.
Takeover. It can save time, most definitely, which is good because, as you've noticed, the accounting profession keeps putting more disclosures in your financial statements, keeps continuing to make changes. And so when we're looking at this, you know, anytime we can save time with AI, we definitely want to do so.
Do we get a management letter, or is that something?
You do. So I earlier referred to this audit results letter. So within that, we have the required communications. We would have any control communications, audit changes, estimates that'll go through all these things. But yeah, if there were any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses, it would be outlined within.
And our credit rating is based on the state of Texas, or is it always independent of our credit rating? Are we AA plus, I guess, or?
We're AA, but yeah, the financial statements are just a standalone. We do send them to the bond rating groups so they can see and look through the financial statements and stuff. But most of the bond ratings and stuff comes from working with Standards and Poor's and the other firms that do bond issuances. Not so much, but they do look at our financials to make sure there's no issues or something in the financial statements.
So are we required to carry a fund balance of what percent?
So that's a little different. So when you look at governments, like villages and things like that, the fund balance takes on great importance. What you folks here have, what we call net assets, or a very comparable in the private industry to retained earnings. So S&P definitely would look at that number. They look at your debt position. They look at your cash. You know, these are some key metrics that they would take a look at. They look at your pension liability. You know, they look at all these to determine the financial health of your organization. And then with that, that in turn then gives you your credit, your strong credit rating.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
You know, so you said the AI that you're using is collected through the accounting organization. Yeah. So, I mean, what's used to train that AI model?
For instance, when I talked about this journal entries, so there's a software that we have called Teammate Analytics. So we'll go through that. Our team then gets trained on that. We learn how to use it. We learn how to pull the populations in there. And then again, software does all the work. And it's, you know, we have to put some assumptions in, and we have to put data ranges, and we have to fill out we have to put the inputs into the software, but then, yeah, software calculates everything and spits out that model. There's some areas we can use it for, like accounts receivable, where again, we'll pull in your individual data. It can then match that to the ledger. It can look at various balances. It's amazing the types of things some of this can do. It's pretty crazy.
Any other questions?
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn at this time. Motion is made by Director Crum. Second by Director Fernandez. All in favor? No further business before the committee. We'll adjourn the meeting at 9:38.